one of the abortion clinics that sued us. They were we were found liable to pay $2,800 because we had prevented 10 abortions that particular day, and at the time they were $280 a piece. So that was actually real damages owed the clinic. And as their lawyer eloquently said in court, my client has just as much right to perform abortions as McDonald's has to sell hamburgers. And that was the logic. And that kind of sticks with you. I haven't forgotten that after all these years. But anyway, so then we were also liable for their attorney's fees, which were $19,000. So add the $19,000 to the $2,800. But the problem was, I mean, not the problem, but myself and a number of the other defendants said, no, we will not pay this money. We'll pay anybody anything we owe them, but we will not pay people that will use money to further the killing of children. And so as a result, they came to garnish my wages from the church where I was a pastor. And in God's providence, they showed up with the writ of garnishment at the church property on a Saturday, where the one day nobody was there at the
church. I gotta jump in. There's a little bit of humor to that.
Yeah.
So our friend Terry Mattingly has been writing for a long time about how much many of the kind of the secular elites, they just don't know Christianity that well. You know what I mean? So he tells the story, for example, we've talked about this on Breakpoint, of, you know, the crozier, which is the cross carried down in the middle of a procession in an Anglican church or a Catholic church.
Right.
And that when they reported on that, they literally called it a crow's ear. Like, that's how they spelled it, a bird's ear, crow's ear. Or last year when, you know, Easter is when Christians celebrate Jesus resurrecting to heaven, you know, things like that. It was just, you know, you just kind of think, this isn't hard. Just go talk to one Christian. The fact that they showed up on a Saturday, isn't that kind of the same thing? Like,
yeah, it is. And then the great thing is they showed up. But by law, the person whose salary is going to be garnished must receive within 24 hours, must receive notification that this has already been filed and has already happened. But of course, they always want to go to the employer first, which was their plan, because if you go to the employer second, that gives somebody time to do something. Right. Like in my case, I got it in the mail on that Saturday and it said writ of garnishment has been issued. And I go, well, nobody's even at the church. And then I called around and said, has anybody received a writ of garnishment? Well, no, it'll come Monday. I mean, I'm sure it'll probably come Monday. Maybe somebody will show up on Sunday, but probably not. Well, so I met the next day with the elders and pastors of my church. I said, guys, this is the situation. This writ of garnishment is coming. In good conscience, I cannot allow the church to face this, because you would have to defy a court order in right. order to not do what it's saying. I don't want to put the church through this.
What it would be saying would be essentially to pay for abortions like you're refusing to do.
Right, exactly. So you either write out a check and that's wrong, or you defy a court order, and that's a mess. And so I just said, so I'll resign. I suggest you pay me everything you owe me today, you know, for the month so far, and then they will have absolutely nothing to garnish. So that's what happened. And I had found out from my attorney that under Oregon law, anything that's minimum wage cannot be garnished. So I knew that, and this was a 10-year judgment. So I knew that if I stuck with this, for the next 10 years, I would have to make minimum wage. Well, little did I realize that meanwhile, a bigger lawsuit, far bigger, was coming against us.